Hello, everyone, and welcome to Database and Methods, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. Thank you to CIDR for providing technical and promotional support. Database and Methods is one of VIREC's core cyber seminar series, and it focuses on helping VA researchers access and use VA databases. These next slides show you the series schedule for this year and the upcoming year. Sessions are typically held on the first Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern. More information about this series and other VIREC cyber seminars is available on VIREC's website, and you can view past sessions on HSR&D's VIREC cyber seminar archive. A quick reminder to those of you signing in, slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of a sample email you should have received today before the session. In it, you'll find a link to download the slides. Today's presentation is titled Applying Comorbidity Measures, Part 2. It will be presented by Dr. Denise Hines. Dr. Hines is a nurse and health services researcher based at the Portland VA COIN Center to Improve Veteran Involvement in Care, CIVIC, and professor in the College of Public Health and Human Sciences at Oregon State University, and courtesy faculty appointment in the School of Nursing at the Oregon Health and Sciences University. She is past director of VIREC until 2018 and a former research career scientist. Her current VA research is evaluating VA's expansion of community care and delivery of primary care and four specialty care services regarding veteran health care quality, care coordination, and outcomes. Thank you all for joining us today.
And Denise, I'm giving you the screen share now. There you go.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Molly. Just doing a sound check here to make sure everything's working with all of our transitions.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Well, good day, everybody. I'll be talking today about applying comorbidity measures, just doing a little deeper dive. This session is also in memory of our friend and colleague, Jim Burgess. He supported VIREC as an advisor for many years and inspired us all to share our methods experience working with VA data. Today's objectives are listed here. I just want to highlight a few things that were introduced in our intro overview session on comorbidity to help you distinguish some terminology. Understand how to apply comorbidity measures, focusing on two in particular today. I will also make sure to introduce you to resources for further details and consultation on using these methods. To be able to apply these concepts and methods highlighted today, you should also be familiar with SAS and working with VA workload and or healthcare claims data. I won't be testing you on any SAS today, and I won't be testing you on any claims data, but to apply these methods, those skills would be important. You will not be an expert by the time we finish our lecture today, but I hope that you will know where to find materials developed by experts and that you will be able to begin to apply them. If you did not have a chance to review the previous lecture, introductory lecture on this topic, you can certainly review those in the archives. So this is our roadmap for today. I'll be going over the concepts, highlighting information about the two methods that I'll be highlighting today, the Charlson Comorbidity Index. I'll be referring to it as CCI as a shorthand, and some of the adaptations around the CCI. The Elixhauser Comorbidity Method, shorthand ECM, and I'll show you some examples comparing the two. Provide some summary information and then additional resources. If we get short on time, I will leave you with the additional resource slides and we will focus on questions. So before we get into the materials for today, I have a poll question for you so I can get a little bit of a sense of, we have about 67 or so attendees and I'd like to know a little bit more about you. I can read these questions, and then you'll see a poll pop up. Choose one of these or all of the above. I am leading designing a study that requires risk adjustments. I am will be extracting the data to construct a measure. I am adapting existing measures or developing new measures. All of the above, or if you have another category to describe your role in applying comorbidity measures, we would welcome it.
Thank you. So for our attendees, go ahead and click the circle right there on your screen that corresponds to your response. And it looks like we've already had about 70% response rate. So that's pretty good. And one person wrote in that they are using measures in statistical models. So thank you for that. And I'm going to go ahead and close the poll out and share those results. So 13% of our respondents selected they are leading or designing a study that requires risk adjustment. 52% are or will be extracting the data to construct the measure. 10% are adapting existing measures or developing new measures. 19% all of the above. And 6% selected other. So thank you to those respondents. And Denise, I will give you the screen share back again.
Thank you.
We're good.
So I thought we would cover pretty much everyone in that group, and that's good to know. We will touch on topics in all of those categories today. For those of you who are the 52% who will be doing some of the data extraction, I hope that I will point you to some good resources about how to guide you through that. First, let's do a concept review. I think this is important because risk adjustment, our general term for today, it can be pretty all-inclusive. Comorbidity is, just as a reminder, it ideally refers to a focal condition of primary interest. It assumes that there's a focal condition of primary interest, and comorbidity is a condition that's unrelated to the focal condition. And there's also differences between comorbidities and health status. The types of measures we've seen have been around since the 1980s, and many have been adapted over time. The measures may be simple flags or composite measures and may be validated and tested in relation to a particular outcome. I will also make note that references today will either be highlighted at the very end for your reference, or you'll see some websites where you can consult those. Just to distinguish comorbidity from some other terms that often are used when we're talking about risk adjustment, multimorbidity usually refers to the co-occurrence of diseases, acute or chronic, within one person at a point in time. There's also frailty measures that might focus on some state of vulnerability to stress. They might be physical or mental vulnerability. Functional status usually refers to the ability to perform certain kinds of daily tasks, advanced or simple. And then there's disease burden, which may be very different from a comorbidity, but it can focus on a single disease, multiple, or it could be more population focused. An example is disability adjusted life years, which are used in a very large international study on the global burden of diseases. In your study, you'll need to keep in mind which type of measure you're really using. The reality is, oftentimes, we will be using what we'll refer to as comorbidity or an adaptation of a comorbidity measure, which really might be more reflective of multimorbidity. So, issues to keep in mind. There are associations among these different types of concept measures, and we could do a whole lecture on each of those terms that I just mentioned. But they are considered separate entities, and they may have independent effects on outcomes. So issues that you should think about in your research studies that you should ask yourself, what are your outcome measures? Are you interested in comorbidities in relation to a focal condition or not? Keep that in mind when you're using programs that have been shared from others. Keep in mind if you're more interested in a very specific risk adjustment or something more general, and what type of study data do you have available? Are you working with detailed electronic health record data? Or are you working with what I refer to as clinical administrative data or data that have been derived from electronic health records? All of these are issues that are not necessarily answers that I will provide right at this moment, but these are questions you should consider as you're evaluating best measures in your study. Shown here, this is actually an overview slide that we used in the introductory lecture. These are commonly used comorbidity measures that use clinical administrative data. The red box that I have highlighted here is where we will do our deeper dive today. We will focus on those, and I will refer you to introductory comments in the archive lecture for some of the other measures. So, big message first, so that you have an orientation as we go through our more detailed information. Some basics. These measures, the CCI, the Charlson and its adaptations, and the Elixhauser, the ECM, have been developed to predict specific outcomes. They've been independently constructed to predict mortality and hospital readmissions. And there have been many adaptations of these measures since the 80s. There's been evidence that they are associated with in-hospital mortality, one-year mortality, hospital readmissions, and in particular with Elixhauser, a length of stay and costs and charges. So a real caveat that you need to keep in mind when you're working with these measures is which version are you working with, and the questions that I highlighted previously. I'm going to give you another poll here because I would like to have a better idea of what your level of experience is working with either of these specific measures and VA data. So pay attention to the poll now, because I want to know if you're very experienced and you've used these measures with VA data, you're experienced with these measures, but you've only used it with non-VA data. You're experienced only with other comorbidity measures, such as NOSOS or CAN scores and VA data, and you're totally a beginner learning all about this. I'm not sure these are mutually exclusive, but give me a little sense of who you are again.
Thank you. It gives me
a sense of what to emphasize. Thanks, Molly.
Yeah, no problem. So we've had over 85% respond, so that's great. I'm going to go ahead and close out this poll and share those results. So 14% respondents selected very experienced, have applied one of the measures using VA data. 15% selected experienced, applied these measures on non-VA data. 15% selected experience only with other comorbidity measures and VA data. And 55% selected beginner learning about it. So thank you again to those respondents. And Denise, I'll give you the pop-up one last time.
Thank you, Molly. So we'll dive in. For those of you who are a little more experienced, I'll expect some good questions from you as we proceed. I will be holding questions until the end, just so we can get through the material, and we'll keep track of questions as they come in. So feel free to pose your question. We just won't address them till the end. So I'm going to focus on first the Charlson Comorbidity Index CCI and some of the adaptations. Again, keep in mind, the CCI was originally developed to predict mortality in the 80s. It actually used electronic health record paper records back then and looked at mortality rates of 607 patients admitted to the General Internal Medicine Service, a fairly small study by VA standards these days. It now includes 19 chronic conditions, and each has a weight that is from 1 to 6. And the summary score is really a sum of weights. This CCI has been adapted by Deo and colleagues, Romano and colleagues, Clabundi and colleagues for cancer patients. VIREC has adapted it for some ICD-10 and VA data, and we'll talk about that in a little more detail. And others have independently used the Charlson measure with clinical administrative data since it was originally developed. All of these adaptations are intended to use with clinical administrative data. And CCI is commonly used as a general risk adjustment tool. So why highlight the VIREC adaptation of CCI? I would like to introduce you to some basic steps, which you could take as basic steps that would be necessary for applying any comorbidity measures. In particular, this measure that has been adapted is used with VA data. So I'll highlight some of those aspects. I will not be sharing any of the intranet VA resources today, but I've maintained references at the bottom of slides for you to refer to later. So VIREX adaptation of the CCI for use with VA data. Again, it's adapted based on the original Charleston-based, I'll say macro code, the programming code. Macro code is SAS language, that resulted in a new comorbidity index. Essentially, it updates and combines approaches for use with mixed inpatient and outpatient data. It adds VA as well as Medicare outpatient procedures to achieve greater ascertainment of conditions. It replaces some previous VA data sources with the VA data from the VA's corporate data warehouse, and it also has the ability to include other VA data. And it incorporates the ICD-10 and ICD-9 coding schema. Now, an important caveat that I want to highlight here is that this adaptation has not been validated with mortality or readmissions, but that is something that I think would be a great value to the field. So I'll be highlighting steps for the use of the CCI in constructing it, and you'll see that those steps are fairly similar in the two measures. So there's three basic steps for constructing the measure. Constructing the input data set, reviewing the input data set, and calculating the actual index or the composite measure, weights, and the scores. Another reason to highlight the VIREC adaptation of this is because it also has, like the Elixhauser measure, really good documentation that's accessible on VA websites. Here reviews step one. And as you look at these steps, if for those of you who have done some preparatory work consulting the tutorial that VIREC provides, you'll notice that this table is familiar, and each of these steps warrants more detailed information on VIREC's website. But essentially, the input data set is used to search for the comorbid conditions. It's created using records containing diagnosis and procedure codes from multiple data sources covering what we'll call the comorbidity window, sometimes referred to as the look-back window. So you'll see terms here like HCPCS, which are the procedure codes known as Healthcare Common Procedure Coding System, and BETOS, the BETOS codes, the Berenson-Eggers type of service. These are coding categories that you should become familiar with if you're going to be building a comorbidity measure, and frankly, with working with any kind of claims or clinical administrative data. What's nice about the VIREC website is we've always paid attention to acronym definitions, and for acronyms that I don't have an opportunity to define today, you'll be able to see that in the tutorial. Comorbidity window, I want to just mention that a little bit more. A lot of the details that you'll see for information really are contained in what's called the comorbidity SAS file. And it allows a study-specific period of time to be defined for when you capture or extract the information. As I mentioned, it's often referred to as a look-back period. For example, you may have records that you want to look back for one full year prior to a particular event or prior to an episode of care, or 2 years, and that modification will need to be made by you in the extraction or the constructing the input data set program. The file that is generated from this step one will include one observation for each healthcare record or claim for each individual in the study. As I mentioned, the comorbidity SAS macro includes both the diagnosis and procedure codes initially included from the DAO and Romano adaptations for use with ICD-9 administrative datasets, and also the Klebundi adaptation that was published by the National Cancer Institute. The code was further adapted to include the cancer diagnoses that Klebundi and colleagues had excluded, and also included new codes identified by investigators Kwan and colleagues that was developed in 2005. I'll highlight that a little bit later. All of the codes were included to achieve greater ascertainment of conditions. Step two allows you to screen the input data set to think about the types of exclusion criteria you might need to apply for more accurate identification of comorbidity conditions for your particular study. For example, are there diagnoses that are likely to have been recorded by personnel other than the patient's provider, such as conditions that might have been flagged for laboratory tests or flagged for some non-clinician-led encounter? And sometimes there's events, if you will, in clinical administrative data that might be what might be considered, you know, rule-out diagnoses as opposed to documentation of a condition that exists. So in these steps, it allows you to review the variables that you've constructed and to determine the maximum number of diagnosis codes to include in the input data set, to think about whether you want to exclude any particular data and allow you to modify any code. For example, this call remove rule out macro allows the programmer to initiate this macro and exclude specific sets of types of events and codes that you've acquired that might be due to, say, for example, events that are only for having a laboratory test done, which you may think may not have a reliable diagnosis code. Again, you have to know and be familiar with the input data that you're bringing in, understand what the fields mean in order to make any kind of decisions about excluding. There's also, keep in mind that there may be some kinds of codes that you want to include because you feel that it's important, such as diagnostic imaging, radiology, and X-ray. And some of these ancillary services may be important to include in your code. But essentially, this allows you to customize your code. This is an example for those of you who are familiar with SAS. This is just some simple upfront organizing. But the code basically provides some good documentation within the code set and some good references. So you can see that this macro was something that was developed by Klebundi and colleagues and Envirex version. It includes this in here and allows you to actually comment out certain macros if that's appropriate for your particular study. And this macro returns the data set ampersand out data, which contains records within the specified window from which the, well, we'll just call it unreliable or the excluded or desired codes to be excluded have been, in fact, excluded. And I show you this more for an example of how the actual programs look and to kind of give you a sense of how those function and operate. Step three in the development of a comorbidity index is really the summary of it, the calculation of the composite measure, the comorbidity index, weights, and the score. It's constructed for each individual from diagnoses and procedure codes recorded during the comorbidity window, and it corresponds to the VIREC version of the Charlson comorbid conditions, and they're identified from the records obtained in step one and step two. So So what does it look like when you actually get your output data at a summary level? This just gives you an example of the output to calculate the CCI. The CCI theoretical range is from 1 to 29. The weights for individual conditions range from 1 to 6, and you can see it in the highlighted boxes. Each of the 29 conditions are at the top here. These are made-up patients' IDs, made up by me. The data are actually data that we generated. So these are, ideally, some are real patients, in terms of the scores, anyway. The information about the diagnoses, diagnostic flags, if you will, the comorbidity flags are here at the top. And the weights are the weights that are generated. These are fixed weights in the CCI. And the flags are merely whether the indicating whether the patient had that particular condition as defined by the CCI. So you can see for this first patient, there's a flag in there for these six conditions in the first box, the three conditions in the third box, and the three conditions in the second and third boxes. You'll also notice that there are flags in the middle here, and these are not boxed because for this particular patient, these three flags, which are called liver 1, diabetes 1, and cancer, were superseded by the more severe diagnosis in this hierarchy, resulting in a CCI of 27. So for related conditions in this particular scoring algorithm for the CCI, the summary measure only counts the more severe one. Let's go to the Elixhauser comorbidity measure, and you can get a sense of how these compare a little bit. The Elixhauser comorbidity method was developed by Dr. Ann Elixhauser, and it's also commonly used in research as an adjustment factor to control for severity of illness. Its origins, though, stem from estimating in-hospital mortality and hospital readmission based on adult inpatients in California in 1992. Although it was a fairly large sample from which they drew, over nearly 1.7 million, they were from 438 acute care hospitals. It uses administrative data to identify the 30 comorbidities that had a major impact on short-term outcomes in acutely hospitalized patients, and the methods have been extended and revised for use with ICD-9 and ICD-10 as a beta version by AHRQ. Although the ECM appeared to have better performance in all aspects of validity, difficulty sometimes in terms of feasibility in collecting the 30 comorbidities may encourage investigators to use the CCI, although I would not advocate one particular measure over the other. It is commonly used as a risk adjustment tool, and I mentioned that it has 30 comorbidities. Sometimes two of the measures are collapsed into 29. And it also has disease flags, and it has been validated for readmission and mortality. So it has two composite measures. For those of you familiar with SAS, you'll recognize the code on this slide that shows you the different types of comorbidity 0-1 measures. I'll show you here the 29 comorbidity measures. It's a little bit easier to read. And you can see measures are, you know, somewhat familiar compared to what you see in the CCI measure, but there's quite a few additions. Some noteworthy additions here are information about alcohol and drug abuse that you can see here, more information about some aspects of acute care, such as fluid and electrolyte disorders, blood loss, and anemia. Again, keep in mind consideration here was for shorter-term mortality and readmissions. So aspects about how the flags were constructed could be different with reasonable justification. There have been several adaptations, and you'll see in some of the references that both validation and adaptations. Van Walraven modeled in-hospital mortality with inpatient admission data using Canadian data from 96 to 2008, and they found good discrimination with 30 individual comorbidities. They also looked at long-term cancer survival in U.S. Medicare beneficiaries. Thompson and colleagues used the 2009 Maryland State Inpatient Database to compare both the 30 and the 29 set of comorbidities using the national inpatient sample, and they found strong validity in those evaluations. Here you're seeing the HRQ HCUP revision of the ECM. I refer you to a nice paper led by Brian Moore and colleagues with Dr. Elise Hauser that was published in 2017 in Medical Care. And essentially, their aim was to develop the two indices based on the ECM to predict in-hospital mortality and 30-day readmission. They used the HCUP inpatient 2011 to 2012 data. And again, this was before transition to ICD-10, so it focuses only on the ICD-9 data. In summary, they used bootstrapped replications on each outcome, and they produced odds ratios and index weights for each of the Elix-Hauser comorbidity composite measures to create a single index score per record. And then they also did model validation with the C-statistic. So here's some summary information from their results. I would encourage you to take a look at the full paper. They have several nice tables that give you the actual estimates. But essentially here they have a mortality index. Again, the weight range was from -7 drug abuse to a +14 metastatic cancer. 9 of the 29 comorbidities had a negative weight, meaning that it had a protective effect when considering mortality as an outcome measure. And the C statistic ranged from 0.66 to 0.81 for mortality. And they also evaluated a readmission index using the ECM. Here, the weight range for the disease flags went from -3 for obesity to +21 for metastatic cancer. 2 of the 29 comorbidities had negative weights, and its C statistic was a bit lower, 0.57 to 0.65. Some limitations that the actual authors call out is that they only were able to use ICD-9, obviously, with the data that they had, so they would really like to see validation with ICD-10. And for those of us in the VA, it really we'd like to see this adapted for VA data. Those of you familiar with VA data lacks DRGs, and the Elix-Hauser measure relies pretty heavily on DRGs, which means that you'd have to map the VA's coding to DRGs. And right now, I'd say that for those of us who frequent HSR data, there's been a lot of discussion about the reliability of some of the mapping programs that we've shared with each other. So that may require some more development. But I would encourage you who have developed such mappings, that may be something worth sharing. Let's see, the HRQ website actually does have what they call the beta Elix-Hauser comorbidity software for ICD-10. This is just a screenshot from there. I found that the web link here that you see at the bottom of the page provides really incredible documentation about the ICD-10 version of the software. It includes good software documentation and download instructions, SAS programs, and bibliography. Although I have not seen any peer-reviewed publications, there is a really nice, I'll call it a white paper here that provides some good information from 2016 on the HRQ website. So just to give you an example also, so you can see what it looks like, this is an example of the output to calculate the ECM mortality index. Here the theoretical range is from negative 32 to 99. You see here in yellow, highlighted in the red box, the actual weights, which range from, we should have a negative 7 in here for drug abuse, that's highlighted here, and goes all the way up to a positive 14, indicating that for metastatic cancer, indicating that metastatic cancer has highly significant influence on mortality. And you can see the weighted sum here, they take all the values in the ECM. So for this particular patient, again, a unique patient ID, fake numbers, a hypothetical patient with all of these conditions results in a value of 52 for the composite measure. Sometimes seeing what these measures actually produce are helpful when you can't see the actual FAST program or you can't log into some of our favorite platforms. I wanted to just highlight a little bit some of the comparisons of the two measures. Kwan and colleagues published in Medical Care in 2005. We still refer to this a lot, even though it feels like it's an older reference. They developed and published the ICD-10 and enhanced ICD-9 versions of both the DAO adaptation of the CCI and the ECM method. And they found similar frequencies. They used 17 of the CCI and 30 of the ECM comorbidities. They have an incredible number of tables in both the main article and in a supplement to the article. The algorithms matched or outperformed the original DAO CCI and the ECM ICD-9 algorithms in predicting in-hospital mortality. And obviously, since 2005, we have some other adaptations, but what's nice about what they did in particular that have continued to be used is some of the ICD-9 and ICD-10 coding algorithm updates. They were assessed with different years of data in their metric. You know, this was a paper that was published in 2005. So they adapted the ICD-10 measures using those years of data because they were available. But it was, you know, before it was in practice in the U.S. So some validity relative to a criterion standard was not done. They noted this in their limitations. And the way that they applied the ICD-10 codes was to enable international use of this, so it was limited to the fourth digit for ICD-10. So we're still hoping for a peer-reviewed publication using ICD-10, but Kwan and colleagues, I think, were wise in advising us that the decision of whether to include or exclude specific codes or conditions from a coding algorithm depends to a large extent on a given study's objectives. So what's clear about what we have available now, for example, on the VIREC website, on the HRQ website, and even on sites like GitHub and others where we're sharing our code, is we have the ability to adapt the code. And how you adapt it, meaning how you include or exclude specific components, you've just then adapted the code. And being careful to document what you've adapted is really important. I'd like to just highlight an example from an ongoing VA cohort study that just kind of takes this message home for you, I hope, when you're thinking about utilizing one of these methods and adapting it for your purpose. In our example, which I will emphasize the word here, ongoing, so this is subject to change. As we think about what the best method is for our study, We extracted data on VA patients who had a diagnostic sleep study during fiscal years 2016 to 2018, so for 3 years. Our goal was to identify comorbidities during a specific time leading up to a procedure or our comorbidity window. We used a one-year look back prior to the procedure and a two-year look back prior to the procedure. What's important to note for this particular study is that we were not looking yet at mortality or readmissions. We are actually looking at venue of care and care coordination needs and quality of care. So we contemplated whether this was the right measure to use and how we might adapt it. We had available to us the clinical administrative data in the VA's corporate data warehouse that includes inpatient and outpatient events or visits. It includes VA information, care provided in the community, and also care provided in the community that's covered under what's called the VA's fee basis program, and also care provided in the community that's returned in claims data known as the Program Integrity Tool, shorthanded PIT. So we wanted to test comorbidity measures with the latest and greatest information and data in the VA. Noteworthy, we did not use Medicare claims data, so we had to come to some conclusions about how we adapted the code sections that required use of the Medicare claims data. So some things to think about. This is by no means a comprehensive listing, but I want to highlight something really important in all the VA data sets and tables within the corporate data warehouse. The diagnosis and procedure codes are plentiful, but it does not include DRGs. So we did not use Medicare claims. We don't have DRG data. So we thought, well, we might have to look at the Elixhauser measure, but we might have to modify it to exclude any reliance on DRGs. So as exploring these two measures, we took a look at our sleep study cohort, which is, you know, fairly large, 648,000 individuals. We looked at a one-year look back and a two-year look back, and we looked at both the VIREC adaptation of the CCI, and you'll notice this asterisk here. Take you down to the footnotes. It's based on an adaptation of the CCI with the rule out and the VA non-clinician assigned diagnosis macro turned off. So you can see we've really adapted the heck out of this, and we really need to be careful about how we describe what we did. We looked at also the Elixhauser measure. And you'll notice that there's a footnote here as well. In the Elixhauser measure, we excluded sections of the code that relied on DRG codes for inpatient data. Again, we need to note that in our methods, should we proceed with publishing this or sharing it with others. But you can see here, we highlighted the diabetes measures for Elixhauser. Sorry, diabetes measure for the CCI and the diabetes measure for Elixhauser. And when you look at the summary information, we also have highlighted here the overall composite measure for the CCI and the overall ECM for mortality. You can see that when you look at the two diabetes measures for the CCI, the percentage of patients who are getting flagged as having diabetes are about 23% in year one. When you look at year two, that number is raised to about 36%. Considering the additional information one would have by looking at 2 years of data instead of only one, this makes sense that the value would increase. Trend is similar with the ECM. Again, here we're looking at mortality. 17% approximately our patients have diabetes or diabetes with complications with a one-year window, and up to about 42% with a two-year comorbidity window or look-back period. And then you can see the range of the composite measures for each. So as we contemplated looking at these measures, I can tell you that we are still trying to decide which is the best measure to use for our study. We hope to look at how these measures will work in our study, looking at readmissions and potentially mortality, and make a determination at a later time which will be the best method to use. I would encourage you to take similar detailed steps in your studies as well. So let's summarize a little bit here. I want to make sure that we have some time for questions. So I'll just use a couple minutes here to summarize. We focused today on a few measures that rely on administrative clinical data. We did not discuss any of these issues around the advantages or disadvantages of the analytic strategies or other data sources which could be used. We did talk about some of the individual disease flags. Whether you use an individual disease flag or a composite measure, there are a lot of opinions about this, and I would encourage you to take a look at some of the references and think about what it means for your particular study. You know, comorbidity can be summarized as a score. In some studies, a simple count might not account for the impact on the study outcome relative to some of the other measures. Weighting can adjust for relative differences, and if you have small cohorts, a weight may be more useful than multiple disease flags. Some things to think about, of course, in addition to whether you use a flag or a composite measure, you saw what happened when we examined different look-back periods. You need to think about what's important for your study. Also, keep in mind any coding changes that happen during the period of interest. In the particular example that I highlighted for our look-back period, it included both ICD-9 and ICD-10. So you need to keep that in mind when you're adapting any code or programs to keep that in mind. Validation to a relative standard is a really good idea. Keep in mind what the quality of your data are. You need to know your data and what you're dealing with. While sharing code will allow you to construct an input data set and a measure, it really comes down to how good the data are and the variables are that you were used to create it. I cite this quote from Austin and colleagues. For those of you who really are interested in the math behind these measures, I would encourage you to take a look at the article that Austin and colleagues published in Medical Care. They actually have some nice mathematical proofs of comorbidity measures, and very useful to understand. And also a second paper, I really like this one. It's from 2007, but I found that it really provides a nice way to highlight and contrast the analytic strategies and the data sources and the biases that might be introduced with each method. There are many other references, but I would call your attention to these two. Selecting the right method really always depends on the research questions and the type and quality of your study data. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there really is no one-size-fits-all. There definitely are coding algorithms readily available, yet it is up to you to know where to go with these tools and how best to use them for your project. Some additional resources. I mentioned the wealth of information that BI-REC has, and I highlighted here mostly because I know those of you who are outside the VA can't really see what's there because it's behind the VA firewall. It includes SAS programs and also some nice Excel workbooks that highlight the details about the codes, and a nice tutorial and comorbidity bibliography that I think was last updated in 2017. I'm also impressed with HRQ's resources for the ECM, which you can visit, so I provide less details here, It has some really nice documentation about the code, numerous updates for each year since 2011 for the software or the programs that you can use, and a bibliography of applications of the ECM, and also some information about other comorbidity measures. And I would like to close here so that we have time for some questions, and we'll keep this slide up.
Thank you so much for your presentation. There are a couple questions that have come in. Do you have any thoughts on using the updated weights for the CCI proposed by Kwan in their 2011 paper?
Thank you. I know there has been some discussion in HSR data about some of those weights. I am not really prepared to weigh an opinion about those, but I would encourage more testing and validation so that we could share those as well.
Thank you. Another attendee was interested if you can explain a little bit more what DRGs are.
Sure. DRGs are the diagnostic related groups that were created some time ago for CMS and has been adopted for clinical administrative data. It's a summary measure about the primary diagnosis responsible for the admission.
Okay, thank you. If I'm interested in all comorbidities, can I modify the code to include the focal condition for the admission?
Absolutely. In fact, for the example that I shared about what we utilized for our sleep study cohort, we did exactly that. You can modify the code. You can comment out sections of the code. You can include or exclude specific ICD-9 or ICD-10 codes in the software itself.
All right, thank you. A few other questions. Do you have any insights on the relative value of using R instead of SAS, other than not having access to the already developed script?
Good question. I know that there's been an increase in use of R for our very smart data managers who work in SAS, SQL, and R. I'll bet somebody has developed an R software for us to use, although I have to say I have not found it yet, and I don't believe our team has found it yet. But if it is available, it would be great to hear about that on HSR data. I don't recall seeing it on either on the HRQ website either.
And a similar question, is there any talk of developing SQL code for any of these measures, or does it exist somewhere?
Good question. I am not aware if it exists. I know we used SAS for developing our example, used it on the Vinci platform with the CDW. I would call upon any of my colleagues to comment in the chat box if you're familiar with anything in SQL or R.
Yeah, I'll keep my eye on over here. Haven't seen anything come through yet. Maybe time for one more question. I have a study that includes both VA and private sector claims and Medicare data. Can I apply these methods with multiple data sources?
Definitely can. What's nice about the codes, the software that has been made available, is most of both the Elixhauser and the CCI and various adaptations of it call on CMS claims data. and it really requires you to modify step one, the input data set. You can include multiple data sets in your input statements.
Okay. We do have a few more minutes, and there's another question that just came in. Actually, a bunch of questions are coming in, so with time, I may have to send them for some offline discussion and answer. So this next question, I'm confused as to why certain comorbidities were assigned negative values and were found to have a protective effect. Could you clarify?
Sure. So the Elixhauser method includes, remember, it was developed to predict readmissions and mortality. And when it was developed for some of these disease flags, the weights that were revealed after testing, some of the disease flags had a protective effect for in-hospital mortality or readmission. That's not to say that those are necessarily protective for other outcome measures, but that is how the Elixhauser measure was constructed.
Okay. This person, there's somebody that just chimed in here. I cannot vouch for it, but there is an R package comorbidity, HTTPS, cran.r/project.org, /package=comorbidity, which cites Charlson, Elixhauser, and Kwan.
Excellent. Maybe we can share that URL.
Share that. Yeah, definitely.
Any other questions, Melissa?
There are a few questions, but we are just about at the top of the hour. It looks like I'll have to send them separately and would like to wrap up today's session with our last remaining minutes. Thank you again for taking the time to present today's session to the audience. If your questions were not addressed during the presentation, you can either contact the presenter directly, or you could also email the VIREC help desk at virec@va.gov. Please join us in FY20 for a new schedule of VIREC's Database and Methods Cyber Seminar Series. The first session, presented by Maria Soudan, is entitled Overview of VA Data Information Systems, National Databases, and Research Uses, and is scheduled for October 7th at 1 p.m. Eastern. We hope you'll all join us. Thank you again for attending. We will be posting the evaluation shortly. Please take a minute or two to answer these questions and let us know if there are any additional data topics you're interested in hearing, and we'll do our best to include these in future sessions. Thank you, everyone.